Welcome to Annie, Are You Okay? A podcast dedicated to disc golf and other things. I'm your host, Alex, and I'm here with Josh.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
So, this past weekend, we got to play
the most glorious disc golf course
that we've ever played.
That we've ever played.
And actually, you know, as far as in falling in love with disc golf, I've gone back to where my family lives, and I play the courses around there, and it's beautiful, just gorgeous. You know, I mean, Florida, it's great here. It's our paradise, definitely, but it's not, you know, disc golf-wise.
Colorado and Wisconsin, there's beautiful courses all over, but just aesthetically, this course was amazing. It was like walking through the Shire.
Yeah.
There were like these boulders that were bigger than me. There are these valleys that you go down. There's this, like, steps carved in the like rock that you have to go up at, I don't know, like at, I don't know, like a 10-15 pitch, I don't know.
I'd say it was probably, it was more than 45, it was probably like a good 55 degree angle. Anyways, the course that we're talking about is none other than
a course that is only open once a year. And it has a name, or it's open for an event.
Well, it's called Grand Canyon.
It's the Grand Canyon
disc golf course. And it's not grand. It's G-R-A-N. Grand Canyon.
Grand Canyon.
Yep. Near Brooksville, Florida.
Brooksville, Florida. Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Grand, or as Starbucks would say, Grande.
Grande. It's not the Grande.
Canyon.
No. But Grand Canyon is the home of Throw Down the Mountain, which is coming up March 20th through the 22nd, and the first weekend, it's open for open play. Other weekends leading up to that weekend is also
open play. So I was wondering about that. So the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, is when they're going to have the amateur contest.
Mm-hmm.
And then what, an intermediate contest the next weekend, and then the third weekend is the pros?
That's right.
Okay. On those weeks, in between those tournaments, is it open?
It is open.
So, if one were, say, to go up there on a Wednesday or a Thursday before the Friday of the pro contest, one might see a pro.
More than likely.
I mean, we saw one.
That's right. We did.
Yeah.
That's right.
I know.
I couldn't believe it.
The Turbo Putt Master.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Johnny McCray, have you ever seen him? You've seen him throw a Turbo Putt?
I have. He's a master. I have. I think I was so just, I mean, we were, it was hot. We had brought plenty of liquids. That was great.
We also brought lots of discs and chairs and a jug of water.
But you know what we didn't bring? We didn't bring anything to eat.
Oh, I know. That was so dumb.
So dumb.
Throw Down the Mountain is a course that begs you to travel lightly.
It does beg you to travel lightly. It's one of those ones that you should probably know all of your discs. Make sure that you can do most of them probably with a small bag. I don't know.
That's a good point.
But we were like, and it's not exactly
easy to lose a disc out there.
Yeah, and it wasn't an easy layout. I mean, we walked back and forth, and here's the reason we talked to Johnny. You know, we had walked.
It's not marked.
It's not marked. We had walked. I can't even remember what hole we were looking for. Like
literally, if it wasn't for
something?
The GPS on U-Disc, we would never have found our way. And even then, wait a minute, how do I even... It's telling me a straight line, but I have to walk a circular path uphill 350 feet to get over to here.
Yeah. Oh, man.
At one point, we saw some of the people. I imagine... I imagine that these people were the ones that were... like talking about the course and where to get the shots because they were talking about it. It looked very official and they were just walking right? And we kind of followed them for a little while. Like wherever they're going is probably the next hill. It's got to be. At one point they turned around and they're like, if you want to throw from the pro spot, it's right up there. And there's actually a path that comes down. And we were like, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. That was great.
And that shot, dude. Okay. First of all.
Now hold on a sec. We are just running through this thing.
Which is not something you can do.
So the Johnny McRae, though, I have to say, at that point, whatever hole we were looking for, I think it was like 6 or 8, we had walked back and forth across this area.
And by back and forth, he means down into a valley and then back up the crest of another hill. And then, oops, that's the wrong place. So back down into the valley, further along the valley, up another hill. And nope, that's not the place. Back down into the valley.
Oh.
And at that point, there was this dude and this girl, and they were like cruising along, and they looked super chill. And Alex was like, hey, you know, blah, 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 where do we go? And then, like, here's the thing. I'm sitting there trying to catch my breath. I'm sweating. I'm like, oh, my God, dude, I'm tired of walking. Like, how? I got to figure out where we are. And Alex is off to my peripheral talking to some dude that looks super chill, but I, like, kind of notice him. I'm like, I feel like I've seen that dude. Does he play at some of the courses we played at? Where do I know this guy from? And we're walking off, and then, like, it like slowly dawned on all of us. We're like, is that Johnny McClay? It was.
And I was just like, we got to go to the next hole. We can talk about this when we get there.
And he was cool.
He was super cool. Completely told us where to go.
And, you know, matter of fact, a lot of people that we ran into were super chill and helped you get around. A lot of them had played before.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. There's a lot of bottlenecks. You're going to get to some places where you're going to throw, and you're looking down into this valley, and you throw your disc, and the disc goes way off and sometimes cuts too far off. It doesn't matter. It's way down there, and you can't walk directly down to your disc.
Yeah.
You have to walk around down this path down into your disc. When you see the people that are down there, the next people that are through, like the people that threw right before you, they're tiny.
Yeah.
And then you got to wait for them to make all their throws. And finally, when they clear the basket, like you hear the chains, but you're not sure if you heard four chains.
Yeah.
Or three chains, or was it a group of five?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like everybody had four.
And then you see other baskets
and
too.
And you have to yell out clear. And so you start yelling clear.
It was funny. At one point, there's basically there's one big valley. And off of that one big valley, I'd say there's probably 6 to 8 holes, maybe.
Yeah, they're kind of centered around that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, because
there's two main areas of that valley that are used as switchbacks between those different holes.
Right.
So like in each cluster, there's like past 6 and 6 maybe. And then on the outskirts, there might be another 6, and that's how they make their 18. So 3.
Man, you were paying attention to that course way more than I was. Like, I paid attention to the holes, but the walking around was just like step after step after beautiful step. Like, I was too caught up in the beauty. I was like, amazed.
I was caught up in the beauty of it as well, but I was thinking about things. Like, you know, when we're sitting at that hole waiting for them to throw, and I was looking across, and there was another group of people waiting for something. I couldn't tell what they were waiting for because I could see our basket. No, I couldn't see our basket. I could see a basket.
No.
Our basket was off to the left.
So there's a lot of bottlenecks, but you end up kind of seeing the people that are in front of you and the people that are behind you. Whatever those two groups are the people that you end up seeing the most. Because if you catch up to the group in front of you, you sit with them, you chill for a minute, they throw, you wait for them to say clear, then you throw. By that time, the people behind you have caught up, and you're kind of like hanging out with them. Unless they shank their disc, you know? Yeah. So, I don't know. Oh.
So that may shank.
What? I got so caught up in what you're saying. Regardless of all that, whatever point I was trying to make.
No. So he was talking about the bottlenecks, and I was talking about...
There's a lot of bottlenecks. So the point was you end up seeing the people in front of you and the people behind you. Is kind of the people...
Yeah. So what I was saying about that was there was a point when we were walking through one of those valleys, and I yelled four. Or no, and I yelled clear, and I heard somebody else yell clear, and I was thinking, none of us can actually see the T-pads that we're yelling clear to. So how does anybody know from any T-pad which clear is for them? You know, it's like this whole blind
thing.
That's
the thing. You kind of have to pay attention to the card in front of you. We saw the guy in front of us. He threw this amazing birdie. He was like off in the rough. He had kind of a bad drive. You're throwing from this little peak down into a valley, but there's a big-ass tree, a big tree on your left, and you got to cut, you got to hyzer around deep to the left to a basket that you can't see. Well, he didn't turn at all. He went straight into the rough right in front of the basket. You can see like the top quarter of his body and his arms sticking out of the shrubbery as he hits this shot, but hit chains, birdie.
Yeah. Great. That was. I also landed in that same spot.
So you have to pay attention.
Yep. And I couldn't see anything.
Right.
And I caught up to flicked it around. Yeah.
And you were like, dude,
I used the justice to do a flick hyzer around to this blind spot and ended up being like.
You still couldn't see the basket from there.
Yeah.
Right, because once you got around the corner, you had to kind of go up a hill and slightly to the right into like another circle, kind of. So one thing I realized, which has made me eager to try other courses,
yeah,
is that when I went and watched the YouTube videos of Throw Down the Mountain,
mm-hmm.
it was not as beautiful or aesthetically pleasing as it was actually being there, actually playing, actually walking around the scenery.
Yeah, I agree. It was.
And so it made me think, like, beautiful. Some of these beautiful courses that you see on Jomez or on, you know, CCBG or Spin TV, any of these, you know, maybe they're like way more beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, like, think about how stunning the San Francisco one would be. Just.
But it's at the same time, though, I mean, Florida is pretty flat. So us going into this disc golf course that is quite literally hills for every hole was stunning in itself.
You're throwing uphill or you're throwing, like, from who knows where down this into the nethers.
Yeah. And we live in, like, the Sarasota area, which happens to be
flat.
Yeah, really flat and palm trees and beaches and centered on stuff like that. So we drove up to this place near Brooksville and suddenly we're in a disc golf course that has all these hills and no palm trees. It was like
going to Massachusetts.
Yeah, it was magical. And it was a beautiful day. There was not a cloud in the sky. It was so gorgeous.
Oh, but it was hot. And it was.
It was hot.
I should have brought food.
But I think part of the reason why it seemed hot was because we didn't have food, and
the sun was beating right down on our heads.
Yeah, because we were walking a lot. I mean, it was because we were climbing around so much.
Some of the shots you'd get off into the shade. You'd have the whole fairway would be in the shade and up the hill and where it split. There were some pretty cool holes.
Yeah, I never found it to be, like, incredibly hot.
When you get to the last hole was... There were, like, one-third of the holes there were signature holes. Like, some courses have one signature hole. They had, like, six, right? And mm-hmm. the last one was one of the best. Not the best.
And we didn't throw at the pro-pro spot.
And we didn't throw at the pro-pro spot. But you know who did?
Who?
Simon Lazar.
Yes, he did.
So you throw from this platform, right, way up in the sky. I'm saying way up in the sky. Those of you that live in Real Mountain, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty elevated, right? Maybe 250 feet.
Maybe even more.
But you're pretty high up. And you're throwing down into this valley where you can't see where the tee pad is.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the tee pad is like across that valley and up on another plateau.
We stupidly did not watch the footage
before
playing the hole. So when we stepped up to it, we just assumed that the basket was off to the left, because usually at holes that we had done this at, that's how it was. It was like,
yeah, like the one where we talked about the guy getting the great birdie.
Yeah.
Off to the left. So we're okay. We're going to throw off to the left. No. You have to cross this valley, right? We should have known. It was 616 feet.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, 616 feet.
I was like, man, that must be way back there. Now, way down this valley. It's one of the baskets that I didn't count for.
The plateau that the basket was tucked away on, right, is literally right next to where you throw for hole one, right? Like, the out of bound, once you get outside of the out of bounds of 18 there, which is like a pretty big circle, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's got more than just circle one there. Yeah. Pretty big plateau, but once you get to the out of bounds, you're at like the tee pad for the pro shot on hole one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you finish right where you start.
Yeah.
Simon throws an Anheuser.
Yeah.
Across the gap and lands 15.
No, it was probably like 30 something.
I'm a
edge of circle.
Alex, have I ever said that I'm not an expert? One thing I'm not good
actually,
at.
You know what you've actually really said? Letting them really you're not said. An expert, that you're not good at estimating.
That's what I was just saying. I just said that.
Yes. No, you didn't. You almost did.
Oh, I almost did.
Yeah. Then I cut you off to say it myself.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Well, I can only agree with you.
There we go.
You have to be right. Yeah. Or am I wrong because I'm not good at estimating if you're right? I digress.
Yes.
Yes, back to course review. Throw Down the Mountain was amazing. The point of the story, Simon Lizotte threw across the entire valley and landed 30 feet from the back. That's...
Yeah.
That's 590-some feet.
Yep. Incredible. You should see the footage.
Yeah. He'd probably prefer you didn't. Because he's walking over there and he's like, you know, it's all for nothing if I don't make this putt. What's the whole point of doing it? I mean, like, you know how soul-crushing that would be? And we're all like, yeah, it would be soul-crushing. And then he goes up there and bunk and misses the putt. Like, Simon could putt that. He could wake up without getting a cup of coffee or fruit smoothie or whatever he has for breakfast and toss that in before rubbing the sleep out of his eyes. He could do that. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And it's not nerves.
No.
Right? It's
maybe.
It's self-proclaimed prophecy or whatever that thing, self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, he was like, how much would it suck? A lot. So, and he knew it, dude. He sat down on the ground and the cameraman, like, panned on him. Like, and he's like, just don't put that camera at me right now. But the cameraman did. He, like, zoomed away, but then he panned back over and, like, they didn't crop out the top of side until you could see him sitting on the ground. He just was, man. How hard would that be?
That'd be rough.
Unless you were me. Because if I did that and didn't make that second shot and did it in three.
Yeah.
Just because I made that shot, I'd be fucking doing handstands and in your face. Like, did you see that? I don't care if I pinned. How'd you see that? Whoa! Boom! But I'm also not signing this up. Which is why it would be up. Amazing if I did.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
And that's why he would do that. Yeah.
None of us did. I landed on a hill. So where the basket is, you're throwing from like 300, 250 feet high into a valley and then back up to another plateau. But that plateau is probably only 50, 40, 30, 50 feet. What? Tell me.
No, I'd say, a little over 50.
Okay. Oh. So not a bad experience.
I don't know. He said 30 and 40 as well, didn't he? I think he was trying to guard himself, too. He probably wouldn't have said 50. He probably would have said, like, 100.
I started with the right answer. Doubting myself. That's what you don't want to do. Mental game. But we'll touch on that, too.
Yep, exactly. Got to be committed to your answer.
You have to be committed. The mindset of mastery.
There we go. There we go. Mindset.
So, Alex, give me a rating for Throw Down the Mountain. It's a
throw down the mountain.
It's a course that you can see and play one time of year. Like 3 or 4 weeks. It's open for a month a year.
Yeah.
Right? And the weekends when most people are off of work to play are closed, three of those, because of the tournaments. You can go and watch, but you can't go and play.
Yeah.
So
I would say, you know, I would probably give it like a rating of 8 out of 10. Or a perfect 5 of 7.
Perfect 5 of 7.
No, 8 of 10.
I like that.
Scoring. Yeah. Perfect 5 of 7.
That perfect. Yes. 5 out of 7. 5 sevenths. Even better. Nah. So 8.
But yeah, I'd say it's an 8.
Just this 8.0?
Oh, I can have like 8. Yeah. Point, all right.
One digit. 8.1 digit. You can't go 8.1.
Well, let's see. See, I don't know what the 10 would be. I mean, like, I would have, if I'm going to rate it on the courses that I've played, it's my 10. The 10.
Fair enough. You can't, how
I've played some really great ones in Kentucky as well. Some beautiful courses there. I mean, they might not be the ones for tournaments, but there are some great, great courses.
Great. Oh, yeah. There are some great, one of the first courses that I ever played. It was a great course. I played some awful courses.
And they're beautiful there too, and they also have there's different.
My buddy was stationed in like Kansas and he said don't ever come there to play disc golf.
I was too hot about the ones in Colorado.
Yeah, some of the ones where there's flat. No trees and
You know, no obstacles.
Not having a challenge in your
golf game. It's still my number 10, partly because it's throw down the mountain and it's only open once a year, you know? Yeah. So, it's my 10. There's some in Kentucky that I play that I call my nines. My home course, I'd probably give it a solid 5 or 6.
Seven.
5 of 7.
Out of 7.
Perfect 5 of 7.
5 of 7. Well, with
what would you call your home course?
Well, my home course.
Is Tower your home course too? Tower's my home course. Yeah.
But here's the thing. Tower's a great course. It's a,
it is a great course. It's a
diamond in the rough.
It is.
A lot of the courses around here, while they may have some they have length.
But it's kind of small and...
Well, it's not beautiful. It's in the middle of a...
That's why
home course has a whole diaper ditch with the hepatitis river. Right, you don't want to throw your disc in there. Like it goes in there and it like sizzles. It's
like, bubbles. I'm just gonna leave it there.
Like, you know what? Donate it.
That's right. Donate ditch. That's what they call it for tournaments.
Terminants. So yeah, home course. For me, I wouldn't give anything a 10.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
10 is like my wife. Like, I haven't gotten to my 10 yet. But, throw down the mountain, for me, probably give it a 9.5, 9.7. I did it 1 point.
That's why I was saying I wouldn't want to give it a 10.
Yeah.
But
you gave it an 8.0.
I'll still give it an 8.6. But, and the 8.6. reason why I'm not even giving it up to a 9 is because I think part of the magic for it for me is the fact that it is a course for a tournament and
it's only
open once a year. And it's such a change from what I'm used to in Florida.
But including that.
But that doesn't really wrap up to being a 10 for me. Like, I feel like there's courses.
We're in agreement that it's not a 10. But to say that it's not a 9, when you have to include in the fact, like Harry Potter, if you took the magic out of it, right? Like if he was just a dude that went to school and like had a uncle that chased him around. But how do
you equate
magic? Because it's magical. The fact that it's only open, it's temporary, dude. It's there and then it's gone. It's fleeting. It's magical. You can go back and see, but you can't go anytime you want.
But that doesn't make it magical for me. It's the same layout every year.
Well, what would make a disc golf magic? A disc golf course magical for you. Like if there was a girl that came around with like hot chocolate.
No. I just think there's. I think it's really great playing the course because there's a lot of change and stuff around to it, but I don't feel like. I mean, I don't think there is a lot of change to it. Like it's a change for us as far as what we're used to in Florida versus what we get to play there. But a lot of the holes are very similar. Kind of in the way, you know, you're typically throwing down something to a basket or up back up. Like it's not.
So my appeal, you're saying, is not as much as it being an awesome and beautiful course, as much as it is that it's such a change from what I'm used to, that it feels like a much better course. Like if you've been banging a bunch of threes and you bang a 6, you're going to be like, she's a 10. But, no, dude, she's a 6, but you've been used to these 3.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I disagree. I do. Because Tower is a good course. And we're not really comparing a bad course. I've played a lot of courses.
I'm not saying
I've played good courses. I've played pay-to-plays in Wisconsin. They were awesome. They were just wait for me like a 9-1, a 9-2.
Okay, how about this? Why are there not more pros coming to throw down the mountain? Like, look at how many pros go to Memorial. Or I'm not saying there's not a lot of pros, but there's not a lot of top. I'd say there's not a lot of top 50 pros there.
I mean, wasn't Paul Jeremy Coleman there?
He was there last year, but this year there's only. Well, this year's going to be. The biggest names are
MJ.
Yeah, Michael Johansson, Chris Dickerson,
Calvin Heimsberg,
Paul McBeth.
That guy crushed.
And that's the lineup as far as I know.
But you're saying it doesn't have the draw that, you know, the other competitions do.
Yeah. Why doesn't it have that draw?
I don't know. Fair enough.
Dang, man.
So
it real screwed me up on that one.
I'm still gonna give it a solid
Oh man, here we come.
9.5, 9.7. Here's why.
Not a perfect 5.
No, here's all right, 9.5.
Okay.
Like the reason for me is that aesthetically, outside of even just throwing the holes, the course was beautiful. The fact that there were some really cool bottlenecks where you had a chance to chill and sit down and relax and take a look out across this beautiful landscape. We spent the majority of the day playing the course. By the end of the course, I was tired. I had played a good game. You know, sometimes you finish a round and you're like, I could play another 3.
Yeah.
But at the end, I was done.
Right? Yeah.
And so for me, that it completed it. It made a good day of disc golf. I was chilling with my friends, sitting down, hiking through the woods, you know, in a beautiful, it takes you out of the city. Like when you play in Tower, you know you're in a city. You know, when you play at Bray, you know you're in a city. When you play at Northport, you know you're in a city. When you play down in St. Pete, every course you play in. But this course was so country that it didn't have that. Right? Like it took you out of the modern world and it was just you and your music and your discs and your buddies.
Yeah.
For me, aesthetic appeal, look, if I could play that course more, I would, because I found myself thinking of the different ways I would improve the shots if I could go back there. If I could play that course as much as I played Bray, dude, I could improve my game fantastic. You know?
Yeah.
But it's only open once a year. So that in itself, the mysticism of it for me, also adds to the rating. I've played a lot of good courses. I've played a lot of scrubby courses.
Yeah.
But I haven't played all the courses.
No, I know.
But even if I had, I would still rate this a 9.5.
Wow.
So I don't know. I
just don't see that. It is a fantastic course. Just remember, he's bad at estimating.
Some people like zebras, and some people eat steak. You know, people are different.
So wrapping it up, you'd give it a what? What's your final rating? Mine is 9.5.
Johnny McBeth.
This is the lineup. Paul McBeth, Calvin Heinberg, Chris Dickerson, Michael Johansson, Johnny McCraig, Cameron Messerschmidt, Noah Meinsma, Zach Melton, Aaron Doyle, Matt Dollar, Brian Earhart, Austin Turner, and the list goes on.
Yeah, but as far as
big name
tour people, maybe 5 or 6 of those people.
All right. So fair enough. Let's bring up a whole other point here.
Okay.
How many people do you watch on the card when you're watching Joe Maz or CCBG or any of the others? How many people do you watch typically?
All of them. What do you mean?
No, 4.
Yeah, 4.
Right.
So then I go watch another
Let's just say that there's 8 pros there. There's a likelihood there's only 8 pros that you know that are there. There's a likelihood that they're still going to be the only pros you see.
8.
Right? Because you're only watching, you watch the first card, maybe they throw in a local, maybe they throw in somebody who's, you know, the AM champion, or you know all the pros. And then maybe one guy doesn't do as good as the other guy, so he's in there playing with the other 3, you know. You know, that's my point. And I think you brought that up before, there needs to be more focus on the other players.
Well, I have said that, but as far as rating the course goes.
Do you think anybody would complain about watching more of this one?
No, but it makes me wonder why people, not as many pros, go to that course. It's just, for some reason, they don't stack it out like they do other courses.
Maybe it's because they drive around to the courses and it's harder to go all the way to Florida and then back. From like Las Vegas to Florida and then back, that's a lot of gas.
Who doesn't want to go to Florida?
The other pros, I guess. Maybe,
awkward silence.
Maybe the payout isn't worth the trip.
Maybe it's not.
Because think about it. I mean, if this is their living, and they have to calculate in gas, the expenditure, the winnings from the potential winning may not be worth the loss, the driving down there, the cost of it. It's not like they're going to run and party and all that. I mean, they got.
I'd be curious to see how many weeks between that and the next tournament is for them. was like 2 weeks or something, 2 or 3 weeks. It's like, ah, he's going to spend some time in Florida.
Yep, that's why I went down there. He's going to go to Orlando.
Have yeah, you that's heard right. that
there's a disc golf course in Disney?
No.
There's a Disney.
Is there?
Yes.
Can us an excitement.
Family, if it's for family. Family, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Is that what you were going to say?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Exactly yeah. that. Yeah. Family is amazing.
Now, I could be wrong. I am sometimes that.
He's not an expert or good at estimating. But
people are going to just think I'm bad at everything.
No, no, he's good at a lot of stuff. He's a nurse. He's, you know, amazing.
And that too.
Stuff.
But estimating?
Not so much.
I would estimate unless it's that like, I'm not so good at it.
In my estimation?
In my estimation.
I'm not very good at listening.
Huh? All right, so that wraps it up, guys. Turn on the Mountain, great course. If you get the chance to go out there and play, do so. If you don't, watch it. It's a pretty course.
Yeah.
It's fun. Do not play in flip-flops.
No. Be ready for a workout.
Yeah.
If you're not used to, I mean, it's more than just hills. It's very steep climbing. There were spots where there were ropes to help you pull yourself up.
And there was a time when I tombstoned into the side of a hill, like 2 inches deep in this clay, and I had to climb up seriously like a 75-degree angle, maybe 60. It was intense. I was up, and I like had 1 foot up to try and throw. Now, I didn't have to throw from up there.
Yeah.
I had to climb up there and get my disc.
Yeah, that's right. I was trying to convince you to do a backhand. You're like, no, man, I'm really unstable.
Yeah, like, I will fall. I understand that. You see where I'm standing.
Like, oh, yeah. He's a bad bro.
Just kidding. Joke's on you. You'd have to carry me out of that. That
much. No. Gary would carry you out of there.
He would. He'd be better than me.
I know. Yeah,
he's also capable, far more capable of carrying me out of there. And he would still play the rest of the course. He'd carry me all around with you. And he wouldn't even be any more tired at the end of the course.
No.
There he goes. All right, we should probably take him out.
Yeah. Want to go eat after?
Sure. Okay. Drop him off. We'll go eat. Come back. See if he's
all right.
PR yet. But probably not. You know.
No, I'm not that bad. Thanks for listening.
This has been Josh
and Alex.
Also, you can email us with any questions at gbdiscgolf@gmail.com. You can check out our Instagram page at gbdisc_golf.
Or find us on Facebook at GDDG. And you can probably look up tags on Instagram of
#GDDG. You can see a lot of the videos. I tagged that in every video.
Yep.